sing it with us.
You are my shield, my strength.
Make your declaration this morning.
My portion, yes. Deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help. You are my shield, my strength, my portion. Deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. My very present help in time of need. My very
give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As I said a few moments ago, it's a pleasure to have our Gideon representatives here with us. And I want to introduce Brother Bob Machen to you. I know many of you already know him. He is a friend of this congregation. He's no stranger to this pulpit at this point, and we're just glad that he's a part. He's partnered with us, and we have partnered with him. And partnered with the Gideon's ministry all around the world. I count it a privilege to be a part of this missionary outreach. Amen. And we have been seeking to increase and enhance our mission opportunities here at the church. And we've gotten involved in a lot more ministries and missions this year. And I believe God is pleased with that. Amen. God is pleased with us as we get outside of these four walls. And here's another mission opportunity for us here this morning. I'm excited about it. We'll be doing another offering at the end of the service today, specifically for the Gideon's ministry. So I wanted to make sure that you knew about that up front. Brother Bob has been a long-standing member of the Gideon's since 1983. It's 30, if I understand this correctly, 36 year as a Gideon. Bob has worked as a crusade coordinator for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He has been involved in prison and jail ministries for more than 40 years and has engaged in evangelistic campaigns into 8 countries on 4 continents, including East Germany, before the Iron Curtain came down. Recently, Bob participated in one of our many international Scripture Blitzes, where he and 23 other Gideons around the world teamed up with our national Gideons of Ghana, West Africa, to proclaim the gospel for a massive scripture distribution. The need for God's word has never been greater. Our prayer this morning is that this communication from Brother Bob, bringing the message, will inspire and encourage you to stand strong in the commitment to holding forth the word of life. Brother Bob, come and share what God has laid on your heart this morning. And we welcome you. We appreciate you being here this morning. Would you all give him a round of applause as he comes? Thank you, Brother Bob.
I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here, occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early, took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, and I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife done walked out on me, and I just felt There's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me. He had a big smile on his face. And he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it and he showed me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son." Then he opened it to the book of Romans and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. And the rehab centers didn't do it, but when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole, I felt complete.
Leroy Kennedy was born in Philadelphia of an alcoholic mother and an alcoholic father. As a young boy, part of his job was filling up bottles with bootleg liquor. His parents made a living by selling bootleg liquor. His sister was suicidal, and his brother died of a dreaded disease, an incurable disease. And Leroy, at age 13, witnessed his father violently stabbed to death. And he said at that point, he just checked out on society, began to get into rougher and rougher gangs, and began to get into drinking and drugs. And it wasn't long he was into prostitution. And he decided, "I might ought to go into the Army. Maybe the Army can give my life direction and purpose." And Leroy signed up into the Army. And within 8 weeks, he'd already been picked up twice for going AWOL to satisfy his drug addiction. They called him before the board and says, "We're not going to waste our time or our resources. You're useless." And they kicked him out of the Army. He got a job at a slaughterhouse there in Philadelphia, and there was another gentleman there working with him named Joe. And Leroy would get together at lunchtime, and Joe was trying to influence Leroy with goodness and positive and direction in life, and Leroy was trying to influence Joe with drugs and partying and the wild life. Well, Joe Frazier went on to be the world championship heavyweight boxer. And Leroy kept his life going downhill. He thought maybe getting married might be the answer. Got married. They had 3 children over the next 6 years. Leroy decided he really wanted to try to be a better father and a better husband, and started working 2 jobs, and they were setting money aside so that this could be a very special Christmas. Just a week before Christmas, Leroy went down to the bank and withdrew all the money that they'd saved for Christmas, and he went back to that crack house and was getting stoned and was gambling. And at the time that they were busted and the police came in and arrested him and took his money, and he ended up in jail. He called his wife up and he says, "Honey, would you get me out of here?" The next day, the attorney showed up with the papers that he had to sign in order to get out. He had to sign the divorce papers. He had to sign over his portion of the house. And he had to sign an agreement that he would leave town and never come back. He got the cheapest airplane flight he could get, and it only took him to Detroit. He got off the plane flat broke, was living on the streets, Started living in a homeless shelter. Wasn't long, he had a relationship with a lady that was working there as a volunteer. They got married, but it wasn't long. 18 months later, she kicked him out of the house after they had had a young child together. Leroy went on down the road, and as it was in this story here, he had his third wife, and she had left him. As Leroy was a young boy growing up, he had an aunt that would come to the house and would get him out of bed, get him dressed, take him to church. And he said it was a whole lot easier just to go on and go to church than it was to fight that aunt. And he said, but it wasn't long that he discovered where they kept the collection plates. And he said he started stealing from the collection plates to pay for his drugs. And he says when his aunt would come and get him, he'd already be all dressed up in his suit and all ready to go. And she really thought the word of God was getting through to this young man. But he wanted to steal more from the church. They finally caught him, and they called him into a special council meeting and reprimanded him. And, well, he had no more use for those people down at the church. And he kept going further off into his life of sin and rebellion. But the third wife had walked out on him because of his drug addictions and his wild living. And this is where it picked up that morning, where Leroy had snorted two snorts of cocaine and had two hits of acid for hallucinations. And what kept echoing through his mind is that you are useless, you're worthless, you'll never amount to nothing. And he got up that morning resolved to the fact that the world would even be a better place if he wasn't even in it. And as he walked to the park and sat out on the park bench, some Gideons came up to him and says, "Do you know Jesus?" And Leroy said, "No, I don't, and I don't want to." And as he got up off the park bench and pushed the guy out of the way, the Bible that he was holding fell to the ground. And when Leroy reached down and picked it up, it fell open to Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come unto me, come let us reason, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool." And he said the words just jumped off the page and just gripped him. And he said he actually started just weeping right there. And that's when that Gideon sat down beside him on the park bench and opened up God's word. Went to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And right then, Leroy made the connections, and he personalized it. God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he sent Leroy Kennedy, his only begotten son, that if Leroy Kennedy would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Leroy Kennedy would have everlasting life. And as that Gideon went on through the plan of salvation in the back of the little testament, Leroy surrendered his heart to Christ. And as he told you in the story, God delivered him from drugs and alcohol. He called his wife up shortly after, actually that afternoon, and called her up and was just so excited about how his life had changed, how old things had passed away, and behold, everything had become new. He just knew he was a new creature in Christ. And as he was sharing with his wife, 45 minutes or more went by, and he was asking her to please take him back. And she stopped him, and she says, "Leroy, I know that something has happened, because you've talked for 45 minutes and not used one curse word." And he said God even taught him how to speak English. And brothers and sisters, it's because of the faithfulness of congregations like Biltmore Church of God and congregations around the world that have stood behind this ministry for over 110 years. That together we are holding forth the word of life, that we have not run in vain, neither have we labored in vain. And because we're holding forth the word of life, brothers and sisters, we will rejoice in the day of Christ. A gentleman by the name of Michael Williams was really just their family was just a nominal Christian family, or Catholic family, and they only went to church at Christmas and Easter. And he said, even though as a young boy, though, those few experiences did make him aware that there was a God, a creator, and that one day he would eventually answer to that God. He said, but that was just a little flirtation with religion, but that was all it was. Once he graduated from high school, he went off to be in the Navy. And as he joined the Navy, he was assigned to a ballistic missile submarine. And on one of their voyages, as they went out to sea and were going down deep into the ocean, he began to just really ponder the real purpose and real meaning of life. He said, in a very, very deep way, he began to really question what was life all about. And at that very moment, providentially, one of the Gideons, or just one of the sailors, one of his crewmates, lifted up a Gideon Testament and said, would anybody want this? Someone gave it to me at the last port. It didn't cost me anything, and you can just have it. And he said that was exactly what he wanted. He says, I do. And he got his copy of God's Word and began to read it in that nuclear submarine hundreds of feet below the ocean. And he began to see how God was the answer to life's questions. He began to see truth and wisdom and purpose. And he said this was exactly what he'd been looking for. And he came across a verse in Romans 10, 9 and 10. He said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he says right there, hundreds of feet below the surface of the ocean, through a titanium hole into a submarine, God's grace came and set him free. He said he confessed his sins and repented, and Christ came and filled him. And he said he kept reading that Bible, studying that Bible, and when he graduated from the Navy, he went to a Bible college, completed the Bible college, went through a seminary, finished that, and then went back to a university to be a professor. And he wasn't there long before a regional theological seminary asked him to come and be one of their professors. And he says, God's word through the Gideon ministry, with the partnership with the churches, got a hold of him. He said, it changed my life. He said, but that impact of that one little Gideon testament is still touching hundreds and thousands of lives through his teaching, through his writings, and through his preaching. So God's word is continuing to touch and influence others. Recently, there was a gentleman named Phil Delray that I had heard of, and Phil had three Christian phases in his life. He said the first Christian phase was just an intellectual acknowledgement. He said, as a young man, he says, I acknowledge that Christ existed. I acknowledge that Christ had died for me. He says, and probably, in all reality, he said, I probably would have died for Christ. He said, my problem was I wasn't willing to live for him. And he said, but I began to just pursue the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of Satan. He said, for 27 years, he said, I served Satan and got deeper and deeper and deeper into the drug culture. He says, I became a drug dealer and was one of the largest dealers in Chicago, Illinois. He says, one night, he said, we were snorting coke almost all night. He says, 8 o'clock in the morning, he said, I took one more big blast. And he said, I OD'd for the third time. Collapsed on the floor, blood flowing from his nose and out of his mouth. He said, I started just beating my head against the sofa. A day later, finally came out of things. His friend called him up and told him what he had done, and he was oblivious to the fact that that was his third OD on cocaine and should have killed him. And he said, 2 days later, God showed up on his doorstep, disguised as 12 drug agents and carloads of police officers. And they seized at that time the largest seizure of cocaine in the state of Illinois. Off at the county jail, he got a little Gideon New Testament. He was able to get out on bail and waited 3 years for his trial. He said he nearly drunk himself to death over those 3 years. He knew he was guilty. The judge knew he was guilty. And God knew he was guilty. When they carried him into the courts, he could have had 8 to 20 years. He said the judge was merciful and gave him 6. He said he had jailhouse religion, but he took that same little New Testament off to prison. And while he was there in prison, he read that Bible every single day, prayed every day. And he said that's when he discovered the Lord. He said as he was going through Genesis, he learned that if you seek me, you will find me. And if you'll seek me with all your heart and with all your soul. He said in Proverbs, it says, my son, if you will receive my sayings, if you will incline your ear toward wisdom, if you will lift your voice for understanding and cry out for discernment, and if you will search for her as you would search for silver and treasure, you will discover the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He said when he got to Matthew, he read it. He said, if you'll ask, you shall receive. And if you seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, the door will be opened unto you. He says, I got on to James, and he said, I saw if I draw near unto him, he will draw near unto me. If I take a step toward God, he will take a step toward me. And he said, when I got into James, he says, when I got into Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, he says, I will come into him. And he says, at that point, he says, I ask Christ to come into my heart and to save me. There in that jail cell, he says, God personally became my Savior and my Lord. He says, that was the third phase of my life, was when my relationship with God became personal. And he said, and then he saw in Romans 8:16, his spirit would bear witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. He says, right there, God bore witness with me that I was his child. He comforted me, and he's guided me and led me. He says, I got out in 78. He said, I was released from the jail at the prison. And he said, and 3 years later, he became the chaplain at Cook County Jail where he was incarcerated. He said, I've been the chaplain there now for 30 years serving the Lord. And he said, I've been able to preach to over 100,000 maximum security inmates here in Illinois, across the country, and around the world. Thank you for making these Bibles available on submarines, in jail cells, detention centers, prisons. You're a part of the largest jail ministry in the world and prison ministry in the world. Your missionary arm of the Gideons is reaching into over 200 countries. We print our Bibles in 105 languages. And every second, 2.5 Bibles are handed out one at a time. Most of those little hands have never touched a copy of God's Word before. And it'll be the most precious, tangible possession that most of them will ever have. Thank y'all for standing with this ministry. As y'all may know, we cover the motels and hotels around the world. We're in motels everywhere. We just had a scripture blitz here in Asheville 2 weeks ago, Monday of 2 weeks ago, and we had 44 men divided into 10 teams, and we were able to cover the rooms, check the Bibles, in over 50 motels and hotels, replacing close to 700 Bibles. And most of those Bibles people take because they need them. We're one of the few ministries in the world that encourage theft. But it says in Proverbs, despise not a man that stealeth to satisfy his soul. I was given a church report. Or actually, I was with another Gideon who was given a church report back in my hometown in Georgia. And that Sunday morning, the Sunday school director introduced me as being with the Gideons, and I had known David from high school, and as soon as he said, this is Gideon Sunday, there was an elderly lady in the classroom, and she just groaned and dropped her head. And everybody was silent, wondering what was going on, and she gained her composure, and she straightened up, and she says, I got a Gideon testimony for you. She said, I thought I was happily married, and we had 3 young boys. And she said, my husband left me for another woman. And she said, I was so devastated and so just grieved, she said, that I fell into a very deep depression. And she said, I even despaired of my praying and for months could not even pray. And she said, it got so bad that they actually had got custody of my boys, and they took my boys. She said, I had nothing to live for. She said, I checked into a motel in Pensacola, Florida, right on the beach. I'd bought a beautiful nightgown the day before, fixed my hair, had my makeup put on. I'd written notes to my family, letters, and had them on the pillow on the bed beside me, explaining that I had nothing to live for and to please understand and please forgive me. She said, I had purchased the most powerful prescription of antidepressant medication. I poured all the pills out on the counter, on the table, bedside table, and went to the bathroom to get a glass of water and came back and was ready to take those pills, and a voice just kept saying, open the drawer. Open the drawer. She said, I slid the drawer open, and there it was, a Gideon Bible. She said, I just flung it open. I said, what is this doing here? And she said, it fell open to Psalms. And she said, I had despaired of my own prayers, but she said, for what seemed like hours, I prayed the Psalms unto the Lord. And she says, right there in that motel room, the Lord came and comforted me and told me that he was going to see me through this. And he told me that he had a work for me to do. She said, I took those pills and flushed them down the toilet, slid the Bible back in the drawer, threw the letters away, packed up and came back home. And she said, God has led me into an intercessory prayer ministry, and almost every night he gets me up in the middle of the night, and I will intercede for things he puts on my heart. And she said, he's also given me a ministry of teaching young women how to be good wives and how to be good godly mothers. And she says, I've discipled hundreds of young ladies and how to be godly wives and mothers. And she said, thank you for having that Bible in that room. And I say, thank you. If it were not for churches standing with us, there's no way over 85 million Bibles will go out this year into over 200 countries. Randy down front here and myself, you probably already know this, we're good for nothing. We do not cost the church one dime. Our over 250,000 men and women around the world pay annual dues to be a part of this ministry. And those annual dues cover the administrative overhead. How many of y'all have your mailbox just packed with requests for contributions, whether it's political or whatever? I get 4, 5, 6, 8 a day. That's got to cost them a huge amount of money. Well, we don't spend $1 on advertisement. 100% of all the contributions, whether it's through the Gideon Card Program, church service, whatever the contributions may be to the Gideons in someone's will, whatever it would be, 100% of that money goes just to printing and shipping God's Word. Y'all have got two card displays. You got one on the wall out here and another one on the wall out there, so you can't miss them. But use these. They're easy to use, and we have them for every kind of occasion, birthdays, anniversaries, just thinking of you. And, of course, in memory cards. When my mother passed away, there was over 600 Bibles given in memory of my mother. We have a Gideon in our camp, and his wife passed last year. She was a very active auxiliary, a wonderful lady. And she asked in her funeral arrangements that to encourage people to give to the Gideons. And over 1,500 Bibles were given in memory of this dear lady. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are those who die. Let me repeat that. You know, we're trying so hard not to, but it says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. You don't want to die outside of the Lord. But blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors. and their works do follow them. And I believe that Bible is given in honor and in memory of those that have gone on to glory are those works that will continue to follow them on into glory. That's 1,500 Bibles, which is close to 4,000 Testaments, were given in memory of this dear precious sister. You do have a Gideon insert that you got this morning when you came in. If you did not come today prepared to help hold forth the word of life, there's a return envelope in here, and you can mail a check in later or your card information, so you can keep that with you. Another thing that we implemented quite a few years ago now is a Bible app. And so people can download over 1,500 languages of God's Word. And these are both readable and audible versions, and all kind of helps. So these free apps, we give these out, and they're now being printed in all of our Bibles and Testaments. So people have it both in a book written form. They can also have it on their tablets or on their cell phones. So the Bible app is used extensively as well. But the demand, the need for God's Word has never been greater, as Pastor Dale mentioned earlier. And when we were on college campuses, when we were in motels, hotels, prisons, we gave out over 3,500 scriptures this past spring to students coming to the four high school graduations at the Civic Center. So we're out there in a lot of ways as your missionary arm right here in Asheville, Buncombe County, North Carolina, and around the world. God has called us to go, and you are going. You could put on your marquee that you support missionaries in more than 200 countries, because you do. And we just need you to help us provide the seed to sow, because these men and women will go to great lengths to get God's word into their schools, universities, prisons, jails, military bases. We're in the military of Russia. We're in the military of Cuba. We're in most of the militaries of the world. And thank you. We need your prayers. I don't know if y'all sense that it seems like the end times are coming quite rapidly. Well, we feel a lot of that pressure, and so we do need your prayers. And I know in a congregation like this that there are real, real prayer warriors. And I want to ask you to put the Gideons on your list. We need your financial support, as I mentioned earlier. It costs about $1.25 to print and ship a high-quality copy of God's Word. The paper is high quality, the binding. I've got the New Testament that my dad took into World War II. And he's got where he signed, where he prayed to rededicate his life to the Lord just before he went in. And in the front, he's got a list of the islands in the Pacific and the dates that he was there. And this scripture carried my dad through the Pacific and was his strength and his encouragement and kept him true to God's word. So they're made to last. This is one that I actually got when I was in college, and I carried it with my back pocket, and it's got a Del Monte sticker on the back of it. It's because it's food for my soul. But this kept a little college fellow from falling back into the sins and the temptations on a college campus. How can a young man guard his way? Hiding God's word in his heart. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Can you imagine your life without God's word? It's hard for me to imagine it. But there's still millions and even billions that have never seen a copy of God's word. There may be a gentleman here today that's a professional, could be a manager or a public relations situation, that you and your wife may want to look at how you could be a part of what we're doing locally. We'd love to talk to you. But I want to say thank you for the people around the world that you will be touching. A case of 100 Bibles is like $125. We have guys in South Sudan that'll lash 4 and 5 cases of Bibles on the back of a bicycle, and they'll ride for 4 and 5 and 6 days to take these Bibles back to schools way out in the back country. And they don't cost us a dime. They just need the Bibles. It would be a shame today if we were to close and not give an opportunity for anyone here today to receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In a group like this, obviously most everyone has come to that personal relationship. You've gone from the intellectual, you've gone through the time of just using God for emergencies, and you finally have gotten a personal relationship. But if that's never been the case in your life, make today that day that you get that settled, that you say, Lord, I know that you've called me many times, and I know that I've hardened my heart against you. And Lord, I'm tired of running. Lord, today I'm going to make a step toward you, and I'll promise you he'll make a step toward you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time today. We thank you for what your word has meant in our own lives, how your word has kept us from the temptations of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, how your word has been a mirror that we can examine ourselves, and Father, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and how it divides even the soul and the spirit. Father, may we love your word. May we cherish your word. And Father, may we live daily by your word. And may we also hold it forth that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have neither labored in vain nor run in vain. Lord Jesus, we love you. We need you, and we thank you. Amen.
Would you give Brother Bob a hand this morning? Amen. Amen. What a wonderful presentation this morning. Would you just bow your head just for a moment? I just felt led to go a little bit further with this. If there's somebody here this morning that said, I just prayed that prayer, or I still need to pray that prayer, and I need to accept the Lord into my life. If that is you, just slip up your hand where you are. We want to pray with you. We want to touch God with you. We also want to help disciple you and help you grow in the faith and get you connected to discipleship. Amen. If that is you here this morning, maybe you've just grown cold and you just need to renew your relationship. You need to renew that. And just ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you and wash you in his blood. If that's you here this morning, just lift up your hand. Anybody okay? Praise God. All right. Thank you for being honest. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? The Holy Spirit is touching hearts right now. I believe that. Hallelujah. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with the Lord. And you can renew that relationship right now as you pray, as you call upon the Lord. Let's all pray together for those who've raised their hands this morning. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, we just ask you right now. We just repent of sin. We ask you to cleanse and to wash and to purify our lives. Lord, we renew our relationship with you. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word of life, the word of God taking root into our hearts. Thank you for the word of God taking root in the hearts of every person here this morning. Those listening online, those joining us, may your word just touch them where they are. May they call upon you. Receive your help. Receive your strength. Receive your forgiveness and renewed relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in each and every heart and life. And we give you the praise for it. You said, as many as received you, to them you gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of salvation, the testimonies that we've heard through Brother Bob, those that have been saved as a result of the Gideon's ministry. We just give you the praise and the glory for that. Those who will continue to come to know you as Savior and Lord, we praise you for the opportunity that we've had this morning, that we have to partner with the Gideon's ministry. To you be all the glory. To you be all the praise for every Bible that's placed in prisons and hotels and motels and handed to people personally around the world. We thank you for the opportunity to partner with Gideon's International Ministry. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things and give you the honor and the glory. Amen and amen. Maybe you're here this morning, you have a specific need in your life that you want God to touch you for. We don't want to close the service. If there's a need in your life, you're welcome to come and we'll pray with you. I'm going to ask the ushers to come in just a moment, and we're going to give an offering for the Gideon's ministry. And I'd like you, as always, to make that check to the Biltmore Church of God, and then we will in turn, if you're writing a check, we will in turn write one check to the Gideon's International. And every single dollar, as we've done before, will go towards the purchase of these Bibles to place in various places around the world. Amen. So what a privilege we have. Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay, Sister Clara. Thank you for requesting prayer for Brother Gary Patterson and wife Mary, friends of our congregation. We will intercede for them this morning as we pray. Is there anybody else that has a need this morning? Just raise your hand if you have a need, and we're going to pray with you.